Welcome to the Life of a Gentleman podcast. Journey with us as we discuss the life of a gentleman and how we can gain more respect and confidence with lessons in life, etiquette, and personal style. I'm Richard Taylor, an award-winning author, apparel industry expert, and business owner.
At this time, I'd like to welcome in my co-host, Charles. How you doing there?
I'm doing well. This podcast is going well. I'm enjoying our listeners and their feedback. Thank you so much. Continue on with the feedback. And thank you all for subscribing.
Yeah, we really appreciate the feedback we've been getting. We've got some nice emails in, and we're excited to keep going. We kind of set the stage last week, but this week we're going to be talking about dressing up or dressing down. There's a lot of pressure, especially if you're just making the changes into living the life of a gentleman. People are going to start to ask you questions. Why are you dressing up? Has that happened to you, Charles? Did that ever happen?
Yes, that has happened to me. The way I dress is a little bit more, I should say, than other ones. So I have to ask them, ask the question, why are you dressed that way? Or do you always dress up? And the answer? Yes.
Right.
Because the way I see it, when you think about whether we're dressing up or down, just kind of illustrated, it's kind of like what's more appealing to look at. If you have a box meal or if you have a TV dinner. You know, like both of them have the same ingredients, but how it is dressed up is more appealing.
So you're saying if you had the choice between a TV dinner and a gourmet meal, you're going to go for the gourmet meal every time.
I'm going to go for the gourmet meal because of how it's dressed and how it looks. And a lot of times, how it looks to you inside your mind, it means that it tastes better also too. So when it comes to dress, whether we should dress up or down, I always pick dress up.
Yeah, there's definitely nothing wrong with that. But I mean, you do get a lot of pushback, especially if you're making the change, like I said. Now, how do you feel about this? I mean, you're with a circle of friends, you've all been friends for years, but now you want to make some lifestyle changes. And I'm not saying that you're walking out of the house in a three-piece suit, but I mean, you're putting a little effort into how you look and you're getting some flack from your friends. I mean, what do you do? What do you say?
Yeah, sometimes it's just a couple key pieces that can elevate your dress or elevate your style. And if you're getting that feedback, remember, you can elevate them up to your standards instead of you going down to theirs.
Yeah, that's a good point there too. I mean, and there's a difference between what do people consider dressed up.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, you put on a pair of old school, just to go old school for a minute there, put on some Dockers and a polo shirt, and some people say, whoa, you dressed up there, buddy.
Yeah, because it's funny. Everybody have a different view or a different take on what's casual.
Yeah.
Now, if I ask you what's casual, and you ask me what's casual, if I ask a friend what's casual, people have these different takes on there. So when you put on a pair of Dockers and a button-down shirt and some shoes and some khakis, and you put a crease in there, people think that you're going Hollywood.
Yeah, mind's blown. But I mean, you know, for me, casual, you know, I'm not a big khaki guy, put that out there, but a nice pair of dress slacks and a button-up shirt, that's casual to me. I mean, that's, I guess, quote-unquote business casual. I don't think there's anything wrong with that, but I've even heard people say to me, why are you dressed up?
Yeah.
I mean, I go to the grocery store like that, so I mean, it's not dressed up. You know, it's all perspective, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, it is all perspective, but it's also too what you have within your closet.
Good point.
If this is what you have in your closet and you're putting these pieces together and this is how you dress, you're not doing anything special within your mind. But when you look at how people are dressed at the grocery stores, when you look at see how people are dressed when at their worship now, it's so much different now than it used to be. Why do you think that is?
I mean, I think everybody's just in a relaxed state. I know that for a time there, sagging, that kind of look, An edgier look was kind of the norm there for a while, I don't know, in pop culture. Mm-hmm. And so I think that might have influenced things. But I think now there's a turn back towards being more of a gentleman,
yes.
Which I'm appreciative of. But here's the thing. A lot of people used to tell me this. I want to get your opinion on it.
Okay.
They would say, it costs too much to dress nice. I have my reasons why I disagree with that. I want to know what you think about that.
It does not cost a lot to dress nice. The only thing it costs is the time to put into it.
Yes.
Because if you have the time to put into how you dress, then that can make the difference. Whether or not that you go to a secondhand store, pick up a couple key items, that doesn't cost a lot.
No.
Whether you go to a thrift store, pick up a couple key items, that doesn't cost a lot. Or whether you go to a store, and the trick is to pair some of the less expensive items with one or two, something that's more of a higher quality, and that can complete the whole outfit.
Yeah, here's what I found. This is my argument. If you buy higher quality pieces, you're not going to need so many pieces in your wardrobe. Those quality pieces are going to last. Sure, you might have to spend more at the initial investment, but down the road, you're not replacing things constantly. You know, the pants aren't wearing out. You know, the shirts are holding up. They're not losing their shape. They're not going limp on you. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And what's more practical? To get a pair of sneakers that we all know how much sneakers cost now. Hundreds, one, two, three, even more than that, hundreds of dollars. Or to get, for one pair of sneakers, you can get one, two, three, four, five good outfits at a thrift store or even on sale. What's more practical to you?
When you say sale, I mean, I'm telling you right now, I'm a big online shopper.
Yes.
And I am a sale shopper. And I'm talking about from Brooks Brothers on down. They send you emails. Now, I know those emails can be annoying, but I tell you what, they're sending 70, 80% discounts in those emails. I look at them. It takes but a second. We're always on our mobile device anyway. Log off of Instagram for 5 seconds. Log off of Facebook.
But still keep following us.
Right. Yeah, don't unfollow. But seriously, check out some of those email discounts that you get, because I mean, you can save a lot of money, especially at the end of the season when they're clearing out and going to bring in some new items for the next season. You can clean up.
And this is the thing too, about discounts. It's the same quality clothes. Just because you're paying less
right.
for the clothes, there's no inferior quality within the same clothes. It's still the same name brand that you have at the beginning of the season and at the end of the season.
Yeah, that's a good point. I'm gonna ask a question. This might come out of left field, but do you think there's a time when you could be too dressed up? Now, seriously, I mean, I know we've said like there's nothing wrong with looking nice and things like that, but is there a line in the sand? If there is, I want you to draw it now. What's over the top? What's too dressed up? Or is there no limit?
Well, sometimes there is a thing about being too dressed up. What comes to mind? It's a job interview.
Ooh, good.
When you go into the job interview, you need to dress for that job. Sometimes the only suit we may have is a quote-unquote funeral suit or wedding suit, where we wear that suit only at weddings, special occasions, or even sad occasions, such as a funeral. That would be inappropriate to wear that at the job interview. But for a person who used to interview people, how you dress should be appropriate for the job you're going to.
That makes perfect sense. I mean, I can't argue with you there. I wanted to get an argument going, but I couldn't get one going.
Now, do you think that how you dress, is there a thing as being too dressy?
I think in the practical sense, the stuff that you brought up, that's perfect. You're spot on there. I think in a casual setting, my personal thing is do what you want. I mean, you are your own work of art. How you want to present yourself, how you want the world to see you, that's up to you. Now, I mean, I'm thinking about just going out on the weekends. let's say it's a bunch of guys, just you and your friends.
Okay.
If you want to go out and wear a pair of jeans, a button up, maybe a sports coat, great. If you want to go out wearing sweatpants, I'm not going to endorse that. You know, but that's all to the person's personal taste. As far as going over the line and being overdressed, I really can't see it. I don't see that there's a point of being overdressed, because it all comes down to personal preference. There are no rules in fashion. There are no rules in style. I mean, you can do what you want, but...
That is true, but we also, too, need to go back to the first episode when we talked about first impressions.
Yeah.
If you're going out with a group of guys who are all dressed up and have elevated themselves a little bit, and you're the only one that stand out not, how are you going to feel? Is that a good first impression that you're going to meet? If there is someone there who may have their eye on the group, who do you think they're going to go for? Are they going to go for the one who's slobbing? Or are they going to go for the one who had read the book and seen the life of a gentleman and have elevated themselves?
Yeah, I mean, you make good points. I mean, it's something to think about. There are no hard and fast rules, but definitely how you present yourself, it's very important. So let's just get a little tip from you. What are some things, some practical things that you could do just to get a little bit of a classier look when you go out?
Just one of the tips is, if you're going out to an event, or you're going out with some friends a night on the town, and you're just starting off on this journey with us, just ask some of the ones who have elevated themselves, who are a little bit more classy. Just ask them, what is the dress code? And if you're unclear about that, just ask, can you be more specific? Is this a jeans affair? Sometimes at the hotter weather, it may be shorts. Is it time for shorts? Is it time for jeans? Should I put a jacket on? Should I have a button down? Should I have a polo? But the key is just to ask, because you take a lot of the questions out of what you wear.
Yeah, I'll give you mine. There's a lot of people who like to wear jeans, and that's fine. But you can really dress jeans up these days. Wearing a nice button-up shirt and throw on a blazer or a sports coat, to take it a little bit, a notch up, throw a pocket square in there. I mean, they can be fun. They have all kinds of prints, patterns, colors. And I think that kind of gives you a little bit of an elevated look too. I mean, it just kind of helps you put your best foot forward, and you can express your personality in that way too. I mean, I know you're a lapel pin guy. I mean, a lot of guys are scared to put that on, but I mean, what do you say to the guy that's a little nervous about trying something new?
Do not be nervous. What has been tested and what has been proven is how you look is going to be the way that you're going to get treated. The way that you dress, people are going to treat you better. So just that little pop of color, just a little pocket square, lapel pin, maybe the belt matching your shoes, just that little bit can maybe the difference from good service to bad service, or getting noticed by someone else.
Yeah, so I think we've covered this pretty good. I mean, everybody should really put their best foot forward. I mean, we've been covering that the past few weeks. And also, don't feel pressured or intimidated to dress down just because that's what the crowd around you is doing. Now we're gonna transition. I'm gonna set the table, because we talked about quality apparel. So we're gonna go into an interview next. We're gonna talk to a gentleman that's had a lot of experience in the apparel industry, and he's gonna give us some details about how we can identify quality garments and what goes into making them as well. You guys ready for that?
Let's go.
His name is Stephen Carter. I had the pleasure of working with this gentleman for a few years, and we worked together in the apparel production industry. But let me tell you a little bit about Stephen before we bring him on. He's helped to produce garments for companies such as New Balance, Patagonia, and the U.S. military, among others. He has a vast knowledge of apparel sewing, also quality control, spreading and cutting fabric, as well as specializing in label design and production of garments. Stephen, welcome to the Life of a Gentleman.
Thank you, Richard. It's good to be here.
It's good to see you again, my friend. We're going to get started and just ask you a few questions. A group of us got together and wanted to kind of pick your brain and go behind the scenes of the apparel industry. A lot of our listeners want to know a couple things, and who better to bring on than you? How you doing today?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm doing good. Charles is here with me, and
I think we're going to open it up. Just let Charles kick off the first question, if that's all right.
That's fine.
So, Stephen, so you were into the fabric making. Now, do you say fabric or do you call it garment?
We work with the fabric to assemble garments.
Okay. Now, what would you say goes into making a fabric?
Well, there's a lot of attention to detail, a lot of checking of the work that came before, and a lot of observation of the correct assembly of the garment. It starts out with purchasing the fabric, of course, and then when it comes in, we inspected the fabric to make sure there were no material flaws. The inspection process went through every step, including in packaging, and then when it was finished, it would be sent off to the military in most cases, and they would do the inspection again, and that's pretty much how it goes.
You mentioned steps, so once you have the fabric there and it's been inspected, what's the next step? What happens next? Does it just go straight to, let's say, one person on a sewing machine and they complete the whole garment themselves? Are these people specialized like that, or is it kind of set up like the automotive industry where there's an assembly line?
It's more of the assembly line process. When they bring the fabric in, it's sent to the cutting table. As the rolls of fabric are being spread out on a table, the cutting table, inspectors are looking for material defects, like missing stitches, holes, narrow fabric, that type of thing. And then it's cut. There's another team of people that inspect to make sure that the pieces that are being cut are the correct size. And then it's sent out to the floor for cutting.
Once it's cut, then what happens there? I mean, are there some master sewers that are just sitting at a sewing machine and just can whip together a whole, let's say, a jacket or something like that?
No, the way we did it, we would cut the fabric and get it ready for, we'd have at least 3 days of fabric that were ready, pieces that were cut, so they were ready to go to the floor. And as the floor kept up with production, the bins were brought out to the lines with size changes, and it was sent to the sewers.
So you mentioned lines. I'm trying to paint a picture for the audience that's listening. So would there be, five sewing machines set up in a row, or is it more? How's that work?
Some of the lines, they had 100, 120 different machines set up, sometimes in lines of 7 or 8. Each different line would be putting together different pieces of the article. Like, say, for instance, the sleeves, the main body of a jacket, for instance. And as it went through the production floor, it became more of the finished product as it went through. And it was being inspected all the way through that whole process. And then it would wind up to a table where they would trim the extra threads. And at that point, it would be put through final inspection, sent to packaging where they would inspect it again, and then package it, bag it, and box it.
So what piece is more extensive? Is it a shirt more extensive, or a jacket, or pants? Because a shirt and jacket kind of seemingly seems the same, but what's the difference between making a shirt and a jacket or pants?
Well, the shirt where I worked was much more labor intensive because there are a lot of more difficult seams to do. The pants were generally a little easier because the seams were more straight. So I would say definitely the shirts, the jackets, they took more time.
So how many pieces or how many stitching goes into making a shirt or a jacket?
It varied on the article of clothing. Some of the, like the undergarments that we sewed, that we produced, they had very few steps. Some of the things for Patagonia, for instance, would take 140 steps.
140 steps?
Yes.
Wow. And you were the quality control over all of those steps at the end?
I handled quality control through the entire process. And when I first started working there, I was in the final stage.
Oh, wow.
And so then as I got better at inspecting things, they had me inspecting throughout the whole process.
So it seems like you've done a lot of different things in the apparel industry. Let me ask you, what was your favorite job or favorite duty that you had to perform?
It's tough to say because I really enjoyed every stage of my employment there. Because the people were great. I can't say enough about the workmanship and the knowledge that goes into assembling any garment. And the people that are doing it where I worked really cared about what they were doing. And in terms of like the U.S. military with some of the thermal wear, I'm sure that we probably helped save a lot of lives through articles of clothing not failing while people were in the field.
Now, working in the apparel industry there, how has that translated within to your personal life? Like, if you go to buy a garment or a piece of fabric, what makes a good quality garment that you would purchase?
Well, when I purchase clothing, for me it's kind of tough because I have an odd body type. They don't make a lot of sizes for me. The availability is not there. I generally will look for the type of fabric. I look for something that's durable, but not canvassy. I look at the seams, make sure that the sleeves are the same length. I look for any open stitching, any stains. Once you inspect garments for years like I did, you become a lot better at finding flaws.
So you can probably tell way better than the store people who's trying to sell that to you.
In a lot of cases, I think that's true. Sometimes I'll notice something that another person is wearing next to me that is a bit off.
Now, sometimes I pick up clothing and maybe discounted and it says irregular on there. What does that irregular mean when it comes to that piece?
We didn't really make anything irregular. Everything that we shipped out, we felt was the best product we could make. Just as a consumer, I find that those particular articles of clothing do have those flaws that wouldn't make it past final inspection.
Wouldn't make it past your inspection, huh?
Yes.
You would reject it, yes. And that's where you're the expert. Now, sometimes also too, when you buy garments or when you buy a piece, you see that it has U.S. made, or it may have other countries that's made on there. Now, if a garment is made in the U.S., sometimes it's a difference between it says maybe made in the U.S. or assembled in the U.S. What's the difference between those two?
Well, there's textile manufacturers all around the world. A lot of companies, to save money, will purchase fabric that's been made in a different country just to save money. It doesn't always mean that it's any less quality. Where I worked, however, due to the Berry Amendment, we were required by law to be able to trace every single fiber from the fabric that we were using for the U.S. government apparel back to the place it was produced, and it all had to be in the U.S.
Now, are you talking about even little things like thread and zipper?
Yes, even buttons, if that's Velcro, everything.
Wow. That's probably an eye-opener for some people. Hey, you know what? I have another question, because a lot of our listeners are probably parents, and this is something I've come across as a parent. When purchasing clothing for your children, the price is extremely high, and I've had some discussions with people, and a lot of times you would think that it wouldn't be so expensive because the garments are so much smaller. They're using less material, so why is the price almost the same as adult clothing?
The reason why is the fabric is a... it's a smaller part of the whole price of the manufacturing of that garment. The steps involved are all the same. There's the same quality control, the same amount of steps as far as making the garment. You would think that the companies would want to lower the price just because parents buy more clothing for their kids. But really, there's no difference in the amount of labor it takes to make something smaller.
I guess that makes sense. I mean, you have to sew it the same way, okay, I can see what you're saying. Okay.
And in some cases, especially for little kids, it's a bit more difficult because the pieces that you're working with are tiny.
I got a couple more questions with you, or for you, I should say, before you go. What would be something that would surprise us and surprise our listeners about the apparel industry? Just a fun fact or something that the average person might not know.
Well, one thing that I was fascinated with is the company I was working with, we were based in a northern state. A lot of the times the trucks with fabric would come in, and the rolls of fabric would be sitting in a truck overnight. When the fabric is sitting in a truck overnight and it's sent in to the factory to enter the whole process of production, the rolls actually shrink. And so temperature has a factor in whether or not the pieces that you use to assemble the garment are the correct size when it gets back to room temperature. Same thing with during the summer when it's hot.
Yeah, that's something that I don't think we would have thought about. So when those pieces were cut, let's say if they were too cold, then you're saying the finished product could end up possibly being too small?
Yes, in a lot of cases, you wouldn't find it out until all of the work was done. and it was in final inspection. And of course, it was all basically unusable at that point.
So is that a reason why sometimes you may get a piece and it has your correct size? You put it on at the store and it looks good, but then you go and you wash it the first time and that heat hits it and then it shrinks up on you?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I guess that is something that that I would find surprising there. Now, just on a personal tip there, Steven, because you are a pretty stylish guy there. When you go to buy fabric at the store or pieces or what type of fabric or what type of material do you like to wear?
Well, I buy fitted clothing because the dimensions of my body, I've got a long torso, long arms, average size neck, and very long legs. So my options for buying clothing is limited, so I spend a lot more time shopping than I do buying. So when I find my limited choices, I look for something that looks like it's very well made.
Now the difference from well made, do you mean, do you look at each stitching? Do you look at the buttons, how they're put on? Or how can you tell something that's well made, just for our listeners?
For me, it's probably easier than a normal consumer.
Yeah.
But you can see something that's well made just by the lack of folding and stitching. A lot of flaws are easy to detect. And a lot of the time, it's been something that I bought before, and it's a known good product.
So you're saying that name brand doesn't always mean that the quality is superior?
Not in my experience, no.
So price over quality definitely takes a back seat. Just because things are more expensive doesn't mean that it has better quality.
In my experience, that's true, yes.
So the more expensive the garment is, does that mean that it has better quality than some that may be less expensive?
In my experience, no. A lot of the time, people are just buying a name and they're not buying quality.
Okay, and you are the quality expert, and this is why we brought you here. So thank you very much, Steven. It was very good to have you here and your background knowledge. I'm sure we may have some more questions trickling in from some of our listeners. And if we do, we'll definitely read some of those on air and just get your knowledge and your background from that. But we want to thank you very much.
Well, thanks for inviting me.
Yeah, it was good to see you again, Steven, and we do appreciate you coming on. Right now, we're going to be joined once again by Dennis Stiles. He's going to come on here and talk to us today about shopping on a budget. We know that fashion is important and how you present yourself, but you don't want to go broke. You don't want to go overboard with your spending. I mean, everybody has a certain amount of money that they can spend on clothing. So I think Dennis is on the line. Are you there, Dennis?
Yes, I'm here, gentlemen. How you doing?
We're doing very well, Dennis.
Doing good.
Good to have you again for the podcast. We look forward to these every week. We know this week we were talking about whether or not we should dress up or down. And we had a very good interview with a guy named Steven, who taught us a little bit about quality and about fabric and the background that goes behind making a lot of the materials. So with that said, we get into you, Dennis. When it comes to being on the budget and the fabrics that we use, what are some things or what are some tips that you can have for our listeners to help them buy the pieces that they need?
You know, one tip I go by is not to focus, you know, shopping in one store. This is a big mistake. The reason behind that is different stores have different things. You know, additionally, items could fit differently than other stores. For example, pants from one store could have a different fit to a blazer from another store. Second, always get on an email list from your favorite stores. Guarantee that they will text you or email you upcoming promotions before anybody hears them. So you take advantage of that, whether it's 50% off or buy one, get one half off.
So why is that important, getting on the email list? What type of things, because people are afraid, I don't want spam texts, I don't want spam emails, all these different things. Why is that so important that you say get on the email list? What type of email do they send to you?
Well, that's a common mistake that people make. These companies actually do not text. They just simply email. You know, it's kind of like Richard. Richard has a subscription box. I'm sure he has his clients on the email list, right, Rich?
Yeah, we have an email list. It's effective. But we try not to be overbearing or bombard people's inbox with it, for sure.
Yeah, a lot of people don't want to give up their as far as like address. But I think if you just give your email out, trust me, you don't have to do it every store. Just take out a couple of stores that you normally like to go to. Stores that usually are a little bit more pricey, which helps you save. Being that it's summertime, this is when stores, you know, not that many people shop, so you got to keep up as far as the revenue, as far as getting sales out there. 50% off, buy one, get one free. You buy a pair of pants, you get the jacket for free. You know, anything that works.
Oh, that totally makes sense. Now, let's talk about somebody just starting out, and they're changing up their wardrobe. How could you effectively start building a new wardrobe on a budget, so to speak?
Well, it's very simple. It's, you know, as far as shirts, like I think I spoke about this a little bit on the last episode, is buy multiple pieces. If you like something, buy it. Try it on. Don't necessarily have a crowd of people shopping with me. I tend to do my best shopping when I'm alone. I like to shop alone. I don't know if you guys feel the same way.
No, I normally shop with just a few clothes, my dad, my brother-in-law, Jess, and we, it's like within 2 or 3 seconds, we pick up an item. If we all get the eye raise, you know, the eyebrow raise, if we all right. get that, then it's an agreement. If we get the frown, then we put it back. So, but shopping alone, you can take your time, you can be confident, or if you with some good trusted friends who's not afraid to tell you how you look, then that is a good tip.
I kind of agree with Dennis. I do tend to shop alone myself. But there are benefits to both ways. And as long as you're getting those deals, like Dennis is saying,
that's
hey,
the main thing.
That's the main thing is the main thing there. Dennis, can you give us some more advice on shopping on a budget? I mean, let's say you want to add some high-end pieces. Now, how can you do that? Add some nice quality pieces. Let's say you're on a budget. How do you do it?
This is what I like. Blazers are something that you don't necessarily have to spend $300 to $400. I always say, you want to spend money, spend it on the shirts. That's the item that you're going to watch the most. That's going to be another thing that helps you budget. Learning how to wash and dry clean your dress shirt. Ooh. If you do not do this, trust me, the shirts will get damaged. The collar, wrinkle, it won't fit the same. Dry clean your dress shirts, pretty much. And as far as blazers, you know, regular stores that sell blazers for $100, $99. But spend... One item that you should spend money on is a dress shirt, because that's what goes faster than any other, you know, piece in your wardrobe.
Now, let me play devil's advocate for a minute. Let's say someone says, I have some shirts, but you're saying go get them dry cleaned. That's going to cost me money every time I dry clean it. What's the counter argument to that?
So it's actually going to save you in the long run, because that shirt is not going to be wearable within a couple of months if you don't take care of it. So you're going to wind up going back to that same store and buying a bunch of pieces that, you know, you necessarily don't have. You don't have to if you take care of what you have at home.
So how important is it when you're on a budget and you get these good and great pieces that you look at the tags and you care for them the proper way? Is that part of being on a budget too?
Yes. You always re-tag, whether it's machine washable, dry clean only, cotton, whatever fabrics are there, you must follow that content. A lot of people get reckless and they just throw everything in the machine wash, and a lot of these clothes get damaged. You don't understand how many people come to me and say, oh, I bought these jeans, but they're already stretched out. Or even that goes for women and men. You know, take your time in the fitting room. That's why I say go alone, because that way you don't want nobody rushing. Take your time, make sure it's the perfect fit. Another thing too is try that same size. Let's say a guy is 32-30, right? Get a couple of 30-30. They don't all fit the same sometimes.
Since we are talking about budget and getting the right fit in different blazers, how important, or is it important, to go to, let's say, thrift stores to get some of your pieces?
That is an option. I don't necessarily do that. I don't know if you guys do, but that is another option. You could find some great pieces. Once again, if you take care of them, why not? I'm a big supporter in that. But another thing too is, guys, when shopping, it's very important that you get that right piece, I'm telling you, because that same item that fits so well might not come back next season. A lot of stores transition. You know, they don't sell the same stuff all the time. So if you find that right shirt, you find those five trousers, buy them. Buy multiple pieces. That's how you save. You wind up, they might be discontinued and they might not come back to the next season.
That's a good point. I tend to do that myself, especially if with pants. If you find something that fits, go ahead and get all the colors you need, because you know that you need great fitting pants. So go ahead and stock up on them, and it's going to save you in the long run, and you're going to step out looking confident every time. That makes sense. Hey, can I ask you a question?
Yeah, go ahead.
Take us on a journey, okay? I want to paint a scenario, paint a picture for you. Let's say I have $200. That's all I have. $200. I need to not build a wardrobe. I know I'm not going to make you do the impossible. Okay. But for $200, give me at least one to two looks that I can get for $200.
Oh, this is my specialty. So, I have a lot of clients that come to me and say, hey, Dennis, I have this. So let's see if we can make it work. For us, the gentlemen, get a couple of polo shirts are very important. Number one, they're always on promo. They've always buy one, get one half. So you get two of them, you set for a couple of dress down days, but still looking a little bit presentable.
Okay.
Get about, I would probably say three trousers. That should link you up to about $85 to $90. So you still have some money left over for that blazer that you could get for $79.99 at some retail shops, H&M, Zara, etc. That takes you up to $150. Extra $50. And you get yourself two dress shirts. Buy one, get one half. And Express always has good deals on their 1MX shirts. Banana too. You can always find them on the sale rack. Extra 40% off. So that should leave you probably about $15 for whatever you want. Box, tie.
Oh, that was amazing. That was a great breakdown right there.
Maybe an extra polo shirt, actually. You know what? A t-shirt. I like to dress up my t-shirts with dress pants or chinos.
Okay.
Now, when I say dress pants, I don't necessarily mean you have to go with just two basic trousers. Just, you can wear a couple chinos. Have one chino and one dress pants. That chino, you could put with your polo shirts.
Now, what is a pair of chinos? I hear that expression a lot. And what is actually chinos?
The casual form of a dress pant that serves also as a dress pant.
Is it like khaki or no?
Khakis, but a little bit more modern, more slimming. Always make sure you tailor them at the bottom. So if you wear them with loafers, it shows. See, this is one pant that you must tailor. There's no way of getting around that, or else you're just going to look like an old grandpa.
And we know how our grandpas looked. They were stylish, but not modern.
Yeah, so that's. I just gave you a rundown of, you probably have the six. You probably get away with 6 to 10 pieces with $1.
Yeah, for that price, you gave us a lot of different looks with the three different shirts, two pants. You start mixing and matching, people aren't going to know that your wardrobe really isn't that extensive, and you're still going to look good, right?
Yeah, exactly. Remember, guys, this is summertime, so this is the time where you actually save money. A lot more money you save than wintertime, I say that much.
Hey, can I ask you one more thing?
Yeah,
go ahead. You mentioned digging in the sale racks. A lot of people don't like to do that. They're kind of embarrassed, you know, for going into the back and starting to dig around. What do you say to the guy that is a little apprehensive about going into the sale or the clearance section?
Yes, I do get that a lot from my clients as far as the sales section. But I look at it this way, man. That piece that you're getting from the sales section, that was part of the new pieces that came out a week ago.
Yeah.
So it just didn't sell for some reason. It doesn't mean you can't wear it. The person before, they didn't want to wear it, but I find a lot of good stuff on the sales section. You got to keep in mind, a lot of these sale pieces are brand new. They probably got marked down, probably that same day you bought it. I don't look at it as rundown pieces at all.
Yes, and it's not like that it's food, that it has an expiration date on there. There's no shelf life to great pieces. So Dennis, I have another question. I have another question for you. When it comes to your budget, how important is it to start by shopping in your closet first? Or do you think that that's important?
That's actually very important. You know what? I'm glad you mentioned that, Chuck. That's a good one. A lot of the pieces that people have in their closets are either too big for them. They either lost weight, gained weight. You should always start from within. You like a pair of pants and you say, you know what? It's a bit loose on me. Take them to the tailor. Take it to the tailor. It'd be a lot cheaper. How much it will cost? Very simple. Take the hand down on the bottom, $10 to $15. want to pull the waist in by $20 to $30. As far as dress shirts, you know, I don't really like this dress shirt. It's kind of too long. Shorten it. Just make it into a casual shirt. You don't have to tuck every dress shirt in.
Oh, that's a good point, too. In order to really shop on a budget, sometimes it sounds like you're going to have to find a good tailor also just to kind of help you out.
Yeah, it's the way to budget, like Chuck was saying, you know, within what you already have at home. A lot of people don't wear the stuff at home because they think it's boring. They think, oh my God, you know, I want to buy new stuff. But a lot of the stuff that's in there, a lot of clients that I have don't even wear the stuff that they buy sometimes. It just sits there until they have to go somewhere. So just wear it, you know, take care of what you already have. Like I told you, with the washing it properly, taking it to the dry cleaner, trust me, how many times, Chuck or Charles, have you had a piece at home that once you dry clean it, it looks so much different?
Yeah, that happens quite often. And your tip, or I have that where I accidentally put it in the machine and it get tossed in with some other items and it comes out and then the whole piece is ruined. So taking that time to take it off, either put it back on a hanger, hang it up when you take it off. All those tips and all those things are good when you're on a budget.
Yep, the presentation is everything, whether it's folding your dress shirts or hanging them. I like to hang all my dress shirts. I pretty much like to hang everything. The only thing that goes in my cabinet is pretty much our undergarments. That's it. And t-shirts.
That makes perfect sense, and that's part of saving money, taking care of what you have. Dennis, before you go, you want to give us your gent tip of the week?
My gent tip of the week is buy yourself a good tailor, because he'll save you a lot of money as far as like recreating old pieces and making a new piece.
Appreciate it. Thanks for coming on. Everybody,
thank you very much.
You can follow at Dennis_Styles on Instagram and get in contact with him there, and he can help you out with your styling needs. Until next time, Dennis, we'll talk to you soon.
All right, take care, guys.
Hey, guys, we just had another great episode of The Life of a Gentleman. At the top, we had a nice, fun discussion about setting your own standard with your style of dress. There were lots of great points made there. So don't be afraid to set the standard and raise the bar. There's no reason that you have to dress down to everyone else's level. We also had an insightful interview with Stephen Carter, apparel industry insider, who reminded us labels and brand names don't necessarily mean high quality. The fabric is really the key. And also we learned that there are so many different steps to producing a high quality garment. Dennis also brought the heat this week, definitely helped us out again with some tips we can apply. And next week, we have another great show for you. We're going to have an interview with an author, Abraham J. Roberts, who wrote the book Like Night and Day. You're going to hear about an amazing transformation where someone went from over 400 pounds and lost about half of their body weight and made changes with their mindset in living the life of a gentleman. It's not always about fashion. It's not always about style. It's about living the life of a gentleman. I'd also like to send a special thanks to Charles, to Dennis, and to our special guest, Stephen Carter. Please, if you would you rate, review, and subscribe to The Life of a Gentleman? And as always, we appreciate your comments and feedback. If you have any questions or comments or would like to be featured, please email us podcast@harrisonblakeapparel.com. As a gift of our gratitude, we'd like to invite you to download your own free copy of the 144 plus page guide, The Life of a Gentleman. You can get your copy by visiting www.harrisonblakeapparel.com and going to the blog where you can download your own copy. Until next time, gentlemen, we'll talk to you soon.
These messages are brought to you by Harrison Blake Apparel, specializing in fashion accessories such as ties and lapel pins. Join the Harrison Blake monthly subscription club. Each month, they deliver one necktie plus 4 additional matching accessories for only $25. This is the easy way to build or enhance your wardrobe. To learn more and subscribe, visit harrisonblakeapparel.com. These messages are also brought to you by DeAndre Marie, a young, talented female host who conducts interviews, event coverage, and produces the Life of a Gentleman podcast. For inquiries on how to be featured, please visit www.itsdeandremarie.com.